we feel as the provider of the solution that we've got to have all of these different bits of justification in place. And they're all tools. They're absolutely things to have in your arsenal, but only pull them out when they're necessary. And the only way to find out if they're necessary is to ask uncovery questions. You need to uncover what it is that the client's problem actually is so that you can provide that solution.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner from an English paradise is David.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of David versus David. It's the podcast for the small and medium business owner where we talk about everything business related, marketing, processes, automation, internet, websites, and all that sort of good stuff. My name's David Pritchard here in the sunny UK at this time of year, and my co-host down in shivery Hobart, Tasmania, where they've got things like, cold temperatures and snow and all sorts of things they don't normally get. It's David Council in Hobart. How are you doing, David?
I'm good, mate. Yes, sitting quite close to the heater today because while it's still paradise here, and we were talking before we started to record today, I drove to work yesterday and there was snow either side of the highway. That's pretty rare in Australia. You don't get that very often. But yeah, it's cold, mate. It is genuinely cold. I may even start having to adopt a British accent just to assimilate into the cold.
Give us your best British accent.
Oh no, my British accent would be like when you do an Australian accent. It's terrible. I sound like somewhere between David Frost and John Cleese.
Not going to do it, but I'm insulted that you think I'll do a bad Australian accent. But anyway, there you go.
You know what is really weird, and I realize this is not our topic today, but as an Australian, when you arrive in customs in England, so you're standing there at Gatwick or Heathrow. And the guy at the other side of the customs counter says in his proper British accent, "Welcome to England. What brings you here?" And you open your mouth for the first time because we don't think we've got an accent. Here in Australia, everybody talks the same. We just really don't feel like we sound very different to the way you sound. And then you open your mouth at customs, and it's like, "G'day, mate. How you doing?" And it really sounds, you really hear your accent for the first time because everybody around you doesn't have that accent.
Indeed, absolutely. Once you're out of place, yeah, indeed. Okay, yesterday, what are we going to talk about today then?
Well, why don't we talk about uncovering new business, prospecting? It's something that we all have to do. We're all on the hunt for that next sale. Now, there's a couple of ways that the next sale can go, and we've spoken about this part of it before, which is, are you trying to reactivate an existing client to get them to come back and spend more, or are you trying to uncover a new client to find fresh blood to inject into your business? And for the most part, a lot of people see prospecting as finding new business. So why don't we focus on that new business side of things and where it is that we go to find these new people and how we uncover that new piece of business for, that new customer. Where are they? How do we find them? How do we recognize that they are in fact a new customer for your business, and they're not just somebody who's browsing and tire kicking.
Yeah, indeed. So we're not just talking about like generating masses of leads here, are we? We're talking
No.
about generating the right leads, generating the right prospects,
Absolutely,
generating the right people that are fit for your business. Yeah. Okay.
we all talk about the funnel, which is wide at the top, and then narrow at the
Yeah.
pointy end. So if you're talking about, just getting lots and lots of leads, that's the wide end of the funnel. What we're talking about is getting through that qualification process. So you're getting to that part where the people are genuine customers, the people who are likely to put their hand into their pocket or pull out their card and actually spend the money. And
Okay.
to do that, you've got to know whether or not they are seeking your services? You know, are you about to solve the problem that they genuinely have? Because at the heart of every sales process, that's what it is. You have a solution, they have a problem. Do those two mesh together? You know, is it a jigsaw puzzle where you've got, you know, their part and your part, and they click together the way that they're meant to do that, so that their problem is solved by your solution?
Yeah, indeed. And I mean, I think it's quite interesting, this bit, because it's a little bit of a mix of selling your services, because you obviously want them to be interested in what you do, but selling your services in a way such that you find out whether, as you just said there, what you have going to lead to them making a decision to purchase. So, you know, if they are the right customer, then you want to be doing the sort of prospecting selling along the way, so that they say, "Ooh, yeah, I'm glad I found these guys," and or glad they found me, because it sounds that, you know, I have the problem to which they are providing the right solution. You know, all your qualifications and stuff are going to be going down this route of number one, finding whether or not the lead, the prospect, the person that you're talking to is the right fit for you. You know, do they have the problem that you can solve? And along the way, you're kind of also going down the route of conveying the message that you have, such that by the time you get to the end of it, not only are they the right customer for you, but they know that you're the right provider for them.
Oh, totally. This is wholly and solely about communication at this point. You know, I've discussed before about the mirror. If your customer looks into the mirror and sees themselves, they're a customer. If they don't see themselves, they're not. And that is all about communication. And if you've got a failure to communicate, then you could have their solution, but because of the way that you're communicating it to them, they don't recognize it. Or they're pushed away. I mean, we've all spoken to a salesperson at some point in our life where you look at them and go, I don't understand how you're talking, breathing, and thinking at the same time, because clearly we're not talking the same language here. And a lot of the times, that's because salespeople are trying to justify intellectually what it is that they're trying to sell the person, and the person isn't looking for an intellectual justification. They're still at the part of the sales cycle where they're buying off emotion. It's all still about desire. And when you get those two hit together, it's like trying to push, you know, the wrong parts of a magnet together. You know, when the magnet, you're trying to push north and north together, and of course they're pushing each other apart. That's what you get at that point. You know, you're just looking at them and going, look, the words are coming out, but I don't understand what it is that you're saying to me. You're not communicating the right way to that customer. How do you do that? How do you communicate with your customer so that they understand that you have the solution to their problem? Number of ways. And this is, once again, it's going to come into where you are on this slide into the sale. If you are trying to provide them with intellectual justification, are you giving them, you know, brochures and pamphlets? I went into a business the other day. I wanted to buy carpet, and all of a sudden the guy's shoving, you know, pamphlets into my hand. I didn't need pamphlets. I wanted to see the carpet. All I really needed to do is it the right color? Is it the right thickness? Is it the right loop? If we'd done all of those things just looking at the carpet, I was ready to buy. And he's giving me, you know, color charts from pamphlets. Like, mate, just take me over to the carpet samples and let's have a look. Oh, well, we could do that. Yeah. That's great. Off we toddled.
That's just overcomplicating a process there, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of sales processes get overcomplicated because we feel, as the provider of the solution, that we've got to have all of these different bits of justification in place. And they're all tools. They're absolutely things to have in your arsenal, but only pull them out when they're necessary. And the only way to find out if they're necessary is to ask uncovery questions. You need to uncover what it is that the client's problem actually is, so that you can provide that solution. And I think a lot of salespeople don't understand uncovery properly. They don't have the right questions to ask. They're the tools that they should be using.
You're saying something here that was, mentioned in a previous episode not so long ago. Same kind of thing, which is You just said that, you know, you use the right tool at the right time, and it's quite often when people that, you know, we talked about targeting the right customer, the right profile of person, you know, focusing on your target market and so on. But what quite often happens, I think, is when you're not quite sure, because you haven't asked the uncovery questions yet, when you're not quite sure what the customer, what their pain points are, what their issues are, and everything like this, I'm probably going to go through this in a minute. But the temptation of a poor salesperson or a poor sales process is to chuck everything at them. So, you know, you've got a PDF on this, and you've got an answer on that, you've got a document about it, you know. You're hoping that if you chuck enough information at them, that one bit of it, if you chuck enough mud at the wall, one little bit of it will stick. And that's what the person will say, great, okay, I didn't realize out of all the 200 bits of information you've just thrown at me, this is the one I'm actually interested in. Now, people don't do that. You chuck more than like 3 bits of information at them, and they've already forgotten the first 2. So it's not the way to do it. So you want to, it's a bit like trying to fix your car engine, and you turn up with your toolbox. You don't just lob all the tools in there and hope that one of them sticks and does the right thing. You know, you use a spanner where you need a spanner, a screwdriver where you need a screwdriver, and failing all else, a hammer where you need a hammer. So it's a very easy part of the process, of a poor sales process, to chuck all the information at somebody. And it's rather like a website that tries to be everything to all people rather than focused on the pain points that the person is most likely to respond to. So I think that's you know, and that's probably leading into just about where you're going to go to with uncovery there, David, I guess. So sorry for jumping in, but it kind of re-emphasizes that message that, you know, you can't be all things to all people. So and they won't respond. You know, any person is an individual, and they have an individual pain point, and it's that you're trying to get to, and then you know, sell them the right solution in the right way. Or, you know, even if you have one solution, you know, with different aspects to it that the person can buy into, you know, if you're trying to get them to buy into it using the wrong approach because that's not their pain point, then, as David said earlier, you're going to be talking words and they're going to be blanking them all out, really. So yeah, okay, back to you, David, sorry.
No, you're right. When it comes to this part of the process, in fact, the most valuable tool that you've got are your ears, because it's that salesperson that's constantly talking that's missing the point. You want to ask questions that's going to encourage the customer to do the talking, because inside the customer is everything that you need to know about solving their problem. All you're trying to do is match that solution with their problem. So you need to draw out of them all of the aspects of the problem, because otherwise you're going to end up in the situation where somebody walks into a car dealership and you just sell them a car. Well, what happens if they were after a sports car, or they were after an SUV, or they were after a four-wheel drive, or really they just wanted a motorbike, but you've just picked the next nearest car, you know, and they're all cars, they've all got four wheels and, you know, drink petrol. So effectively, you've solved their overall problem, but you haven't given them the proper solution to the problem. So therefore, they are never going to be 100% happy with the solution that you've provided. You need that extra information to make sure that you're matching your solution up with the best possible solution to their problem. You know, the amount of people that say to me when we talk about advertising and marketing, oh, David, the best advertising is word of mouth. And there is no doubt, word of mouth is great advertising. But word of mouth is the advertising that you get from people who are 100% satisfied with the service and delivery of that service from your business. So if you're not delivering 100% satisfaction to every customer, then you're not going to get good word of mouth. And if you haven't done your uncovery properly, you are never going to deliver 100% service and product satisfaction to all of your clients. You are always going to get people out there who go, yeah, you know what, 80% of what they did was pretty good, but 20% of it, you know, I think that could have been better. Uncovery, not done properly. So prospecting those customers wasn't a successful part of the sales process. And as we've also mentioned in the past, at the end of every sale is the beginning of the next sale. So if that client is only 80% satisfied, they are not coming back to the next sales process 100% satisfied. So you're not getting that sort of almost guaranteed next sale. There's always that element of doubt if there's 20% sitting out mm-hmm. there where they're going, well, you know, I suppose if somebody offered me a better deal or somebody did something different, that I would be open to listening to what they have to say. You want to close the door on them being open to listening to what the competitor had to say by delivering 100% satisfaction. And the only way to do that is to prospect properly and find out what it is that your customer's problem genuinely is, 100% of the problem, and then solve it. And you know what? If your business only solves 80% of the problem, then deliver 100% of the 80% and find a way to assist them in solving that last 20% by recommending a different solution. Even if that's going to another person who can deliver that last 20%. If you can't deliver it, don't try and fudge it.
That'll just be the disappointment bit, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's opening the door to dissatisfaction. So, you know, what sort of questions do you ask your customers then to find out the solution to that problem? And you've got to think about where as well. They're revealing their problems to you. And we were talking about this before we started. So, for example, if you've got a website, how does the uncovery work on your website so that you know that you're getting the right, giving the right solution to that customer? If you're at an exhibition, how are you uncovering at the exhibition, you know, where there's people everywhere and it's noisy and, you know, you're trying to deal with lots and lots of people and solve their problems? You've got to have a solution. So it's not one size fits all. However, the uncovery questions are one size fits all, because it's not just ask one question, get one answer, solve problem. It's ask a series of questions that are going to help you find your way through that jungle of their problem to their solution. I was at a hardware store on the weekend. I seem to spend a lot of time at hardware stores for someone who's seriously not handy with tools.
That's why you spend a lot of time in.
Yeah, I think it's like hardware porn. I go down and I look at the drills and go, oh, you know what? If I only knew how to use that properly, I could be doing what a builder does. Anyway, we're not going to get into my woes of of hardware. But the person who was on the floor, now, hardware stores generally don't have enough staff, which always surprises me. And it always surprises me that on the weekends, they have their B team there. So all of the people who actually know how to do all of the stuff work Monday to Friday. And then on the weekends, they don't seem to be there. They seem to have lots of, you know, 17-year-olds who, quite seriously, are a bit like me. You know, you show them a saw and they go, so how do you actually hammer the nails in with that? That's right. Wrong tool. And the person who walked up to me on the floor said, can I help you? Now, the first thing that everybody says, and it's because we've all been asked exactly that question so many times, is, no thanks, mate, I'm right.
Yeah, I'm just looking.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Wrong answer. You know, the wrong question, wrong answer. The question to actually ask is this your first time at the store? Because it's an opening question. You're trying to start a conversation. And the second question is, what are you hoping to achieve here today?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're very basic opening sales gambit questions. We've not even hit on the part about prospecting me as a new customer at this stage. All we're trying to do is establish the relationship. But the second of those is, you know, what problem are you trying to solve? I was looking for paint. So my answer to him would have been, man, I'm just here to buy some paint. And now if he was switched on at that point, he would have said, well, follow me. I'll take you over to the paint section. Now, once he'd got me to the paint section, then the next question would have been, what is it that you're hoping to paint today? Could, you know, indoor, outdoor, you know, in the snow? Do you want to paint in the snow today? it's like, what are you trying to paint? Oh, well, I'm trying to paint walls. Excellent. What sort of color were you hoping to achieve? Are you going for a white finish? Are you looking for a color? Does it have to match an interior color that already exists there? Have you seen our color charts? So there's a whole heap of questions that he could have asked me based out of what problem are you trying to solve here today? You know, what are you trying to achieve here today? The next logical question would be, are you painting today? Because if I'm painting and it's 6 degrees, then the paint, you know, that I need is going to be a paint that's going to dry in a cold temperature, not some paint that needs it to be 20 degrees to paint. What about, have you done all of the preparation on the walls or the ceiling?
Absolutely.
Already. There's your on-sell opportunities, because I've only identified that I was looking for paint. Now, as it was, bought a sanding block and brushes and roller cover and more painter's tape as well. So, you know, there's four extra things.
Yeah. And, you know, another question, are you doing the work yourself, or are you just choosing the paint? Is a decorator doing it for you?
That's right.
So again, you're going to be qualifying as to you know, whether those upsells are there, or whether they ought to be encouraging the decorator to come in with you as well, or maybe they believe they'd have no chance of selling to a decorator unless it's somebody they already know, maybe somebody they already deal with, maybe they have a trade account with them, and that kind of thing. So yeah, lots of additional. And I mean, I appreciate here we're only talking about a tin of paint, but if that's your business, then that's what you ought to be qualifying and getting to the point where you know what that person is actually after, so that you're better able to address them and leave them with that glowing feeling that you're the right people to do business with.
Absolutely,
that's where you want to be buying your paint from. Because just the fact, you know, one of the ones you opened up there, you know, have you done the preparation yet? You know, of course I'm going to have to buy the masking tape, the sanding blocks, this, that, and the other. You know, well, that might effectively rule out other competition in the area that only sell paint or whatever, I've got to go back there and compare this against that and da da da. Well, suddenly you're the one-stop shop that the guy can walk out, you the customer can walk out from here with absolutely everything that you need. Isn't that a benefit? And so on. So you're doing the kind of, as you say, doing this uncovery process, and you're drawing them in bit by bit. You're making them realize that you have everything that they need, and that you're surrounding them with your solution at the same time as finding out that they are the right person for you as well. Because if that guy says, I'm just getting ideas of colors for, we're thinking of redecorating next year, or my wife saw something in a magazine, she's wondering what we could do if it was something similar, the answers to some questions might be a little bit give the indication that they're not about to do it now. So you don't want to be necessarily going down that that sales process of selling them something now, but you really want to be providing them with the indication that, and of course you can get everything here from us, like sanding blocks, like the other stuff when you come to do the preparation. Do you have a decorator? Let's get the decorator, send the decorator to us or whatever, so you got all sorts of different options for where they are in the process of their purchasing cycle, if you like. They might just be seeing what's available for the future, so you're going to be then changing your approach to them.
Absolutely. There's two forks that you've just covered there in that question. It's, how did this problem start that caused you to walk into my shop or make this inquiry today? And that's a really broad one that you want to find out the answer to, because that's how you get those extra sales items. I might have had a hole in the wall for all he knew, even though I just said I wanted paint. And the other one is, when do you need to have this job finished by? When do you need to have your problem solved by? Because that then gives you a range of opportunities and different products that you need to be looking at. If someone said to you, "Hey, David, I need a website for my business," it's like, that's great. Okay, so there's the opening to the sale. But the prospecting questions, the uncovery questions, need to also cover, when do you need this to be finished by? Because if they genuinely want a website tomorrow, then you've got to drop a whole heap of other stuff to be able to fit that into your workflow so that you can make that happen. Or if the answer is actually, "Oh, that's okay, mate, I'm really just hoping to have it up in the next month, maybe 6 weeks," then you've got more time to be able to deliver that solution. Because once again, if you're only able to deliver 80% of the solution to their problem, then You know, they're going to walk away with the door open on 20% of doing something for someone else.
Indeed. And, you know, what you're hoping that the website's going to actually deliver to you as a business, you know, what are you hoping it's going to achieve and so on. And, you can get some very optimistic, unrealistic answers to that kind of question. You know, sometimes, you know, and fair enough, you know, people approach it, they think they need one, but they don't necessarily really know why. They haven't really worked out what it's going to bring them, or what they think it can bring them. And sometimes, you know, they don't know the capabilities, they don't realize how easy it is to build an email list from a website, or all the various things that you can offer them. And so they're, oh great, you know, you're beginning to uncover their issues. So you uncover their issues, so you know, you start talking about things like did you realize if you use a website to build an email list, you can have an easy way of marketing to people that already know about you and so on. You're starting to develop them as a customer. You're asking them questions about, you know, how do they market at the moment, and how do they have trouble doing this? Do they have issues with retaining customers? Do they lose contact with customers too easily, and all this sort of stuff? So, you know, you can find out what their pain points are. But all the way through this, as we kind of said at the beginning, in your mind, you will have the profile of an ideal target customer, you know, that's where you want to be going. So, you know, you're going to be thinking, who are your customers? You know, and when you go down this the uncovery question process, the qualification process and so on, you're really aiming to find out who are the ones that fit into the different buckets. You know, just because, you know, as David said, we've got this sales funnel where they all you know loads of people go in at the top of the funnel, and you know, for every 1,000 people that go in, 100 make it so far down the funnel. And then the number of people that maybe pop out at the bottom with a purchase order for you, or a credit card about to go in the machine or whatever, is maybe, you know, 50 or 20 or whatever the realistic number is. But along the way, some of the people that filter out, you know, they will fit a different profile, and they will go into a different funnel, if you like. You know, so maybe they need then different qualification question, different process, a different sales cycle that they'll be going down, you end up with addressing a slightly different profile. But make sure that as you go down the uncovery questions, remind yourself what kind of person you're looking for, what kind of position they're in, what pain points they're in, what you're looking to solve for them. And that's the way to go through that one.
Absolutely. And you know, something that I very rarely see qualified as part of a process is, are you talking to the decision maker? How often have we all ended up talking to somebody who was really just sent to find out information rather than being the person who actually makes the decision? Because sometimes there's not a lot of point in talking to that other person. For example, back to my hardware example, it would be very unusual that I, as a guy, would be standing in the paint department looking for paint for my home if my partner wasn't with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how do you find out whether or not this is a decision that I'm making, or this is a decision that I'm just out sussing out price on, for example, rather than talking to my partner, who's really the one who's going to make decision, because color is vital.
Yeah, you might be sent out to do the groundwork, and then say the final decisions come further down the line. And you certainly mentioned this one in the past of you know, even coming down to buying a car. You know, you might be checking out the nuts and bolts and the spec and everything, but somebody else has to live with that choice of car, and they may well have the overriding decision on what you are encouraged to proceed with.
Yes.
Shall we say?
Yeah.
You know, so indeed, other people can enter the equation and completely scupper things. So it's a very, very important qualification question.
Absolutely. If you're giving lots and lots of information, like intellectual justification, and it's not the decision maker, are you giving that information to the right person?
Absolutely.
Is that the person that needs to get the desire information, or maybe not? You know, Are they the people that should be getting the intellectual justification, and you should be saving the desire component of it for the actual decision maker? And the only way you can find that out is uncover. So ask the right questions. And all of this feeds back to a principle that we have spoken about many times, and that is, who is your customer? You must know who they are. You must identify them in the profile so that your message to that customer is the correct message when you're advertising. Well, it's the same principle when you're taking someone through from being a prospect into the buying cycle. Make sure that you're giving the right information to the right person at the right time.
And on that note, I think that's an excellent point to wrap it up, David.
Yep, I agree. I think it's that's a lot to take on board.
Yeah,
and
indeed,
I think there'll
absolutely.
be a lot of people sitting out there going, you know what, we do. We just say, you know, the equivalent of, can I help you, or are you right, when entering into a sales process, or we bombard them with too much information, trying to intellectually justify why they should be buying from us, and we're missing the signs that would allow us to uncover, is this the problem that that person has? Am I solving the right problem? You know, we're just chucking stuff at them and hoping that it sticks. If you get your sales process right, you will close more sales, you will make more money, you will not have to work as hard. And I think
that ticks a lot
of boxes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey ho. Well, look, I think that's it for this week's episode of David versus David. And as ever, you can find all the previous episodes on our website at davidversusdavid.com. You can engage with us through facebook.com/David versus David and discover and subscribe to more podcast episodes at good old iTunes, where you can also leave us those lovely reviews as well. We like it all. You know, we love engagement. Contact us through Facebook. It's all there on the website. You can click on all the buttons. You'll get to all the different parts. You certainly get to all the different episodes. If this episode provided some useful information for you, well, there's about another 109 before it, maybe something like that. So enough to keep you occupied for a few minutes at least. For now, I think for this week, it's going to be over and out from me, David Pritchard, here in the UK.
And goodbye from me here in beautiful, cold paradise, Hobart, Tasmania. Catch you next week, guys.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.